From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We're delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues this series on the book of Judges as he brings the next portion of a message called Minor Men with a Major Message. Immediately following the judgeship of Jephthah, Judges chapter 12 records the administrations of three men, Ibzan, Elon, and Abdon. In spite of the brevity of the accounts, the Holy Spirit's comments on each man teach us a number of important lessons for our individual Christian lives as well as for the church at large. In the course of the message, Dr. Cairns is highlighting seven areas of vital truth, the first of which is the need to learn the proper use of God-given opportunity. Next, we'll see that ministers of the Word are God's greatest gift to a nation. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. Before he comes, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is called Immediately Present. The text is Psalm 46 and verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. A help that is not present when we need it is of small value. The anchor which is left at home is of no use to the seaman in the hour of storm. The money which he used to have is of no worth to the debtor when a writ is out against him. Very few earthly helps could be called very present. They are usually far in the seeking, far in the using, and farther still when once used. But as for the Lord our God, he is present when we seek him, present when we need him, and present when we have already enjoyed his aid. He is more than present. He is very present, more present than the nearest friend can be, for he is in us in our trouble, more present than we are to ourselves, for sometimes we lack presence of mind. He is always present, effectually present, sympathetically present, altogether present. He is present now if this is a gloomy season. Let us rest ourselves upon him. He is our refuge. Let us abide in him. He is our strength. Let us array ourselves with him. He is our help. Let us lean upon him. He is our very present help. Let us repose in him now. We need not have a moment's care or an instant fear. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge.
Thank you.
On the night before the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, he instituted an ordinance by which his people were to remember him until his second coming. Known as the Lord's Supper or Communion, this simple yet profound ceremony pictures Christ's broken body and shed blood through the common elements of bread and wine. Through the centuries, this observance has been a precious and solemn time for the Lord's people. Yet it has also been a subject of much abuse by those who come to this table of the Lord. At the extreme, a person's attitude toward it was a matter of life and death. During the time of the Reformation, many people were burned at the stake for refusing to accept the insistence of the Roman Catholic Church that the elements of communion literally became Christ's flesh and blood. Some groups see the elements as mere symbols, while others find in the Lord's table a much deeper significance. Dr. Alan Cairns recently wrote a short book in which he deals with the Lord's Supper from the scriptural teaching on the subject. Simply titled, The Lord's Supper, the book is subtitled, An Earthly Encounter with the Heavenly Christ. Its aim is to stir the hearts of believers to enter into the joyful fellowship our Savior holds out to us as we eat this bread and drink this cup in remembrance of Him. Let the Bible Speak has obtained a limited number of copies of this publication, which are available to our listeners. The price for each copy of the Lord's Supper is $8, which includes shipping and handling. You may have a copy by sending your check for $8 made out to Let the Bible Speak. Send it to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Be sure to request your copy of the Lord's Supper today. As you gather with family and friends to observe this Christmas season, we hope you will keep Christ at the center of your festivities. From all of us at the ministry of Let the Bible Speak, we wish for you and yours a most blessed Christmas. Now, with today's message, here is Dr. Alan Cairns.
When the Lord gives an opportunity, when the Lord gives a deliverance, and he brings a time of peace and prosperity, that that time be used to the greatest possible advantage. The Lord used it in Israel to direct his people to the Word of God. He used that time to encourage them through, notice the word, judges, to deal with sin. He raised up men who would raise a standard of righteousness in the land, who would put the sword of the Spirit of God to the practice of sin. And of course, he was using this time to prepare them for service and for conflict. Now, this is always the best way to use our good times. In the mercy of God, this is a nation that has had a prolonged period of peace and of prosperity. God has given good times. And I think that it's one of the, if not the, major tragedies of our day and age that the goodness of God has been made an excuse for self-indulgence, ungodliness, wickedness, and downright apostasy. The nation has been sowing the wind. Believe me, the day is coming when it will reap the whirlwind. It is always the best use of the good times to be directed according to the Word of God, to bring sin under the sword of the Word, and to prepare for the service of God with all the conflicts that that entails. Opportunity is never given to squander. One of the greatest times that God gives, and I think you know that it is very rarely ever appreciated, is the time of youth. When you have youth, you think you have it forever. And yet, before you know it, it's gone. I think it's one of the great, again, a tragedy, something terribly sad, and it's happening more and more and more in these days, that teenage years should be the most troubled years. That's a modern phenomenon. It's terribly sad that young people who should have the greatest vitality, the greatest natural verve for life, the greatest output of joy, young people who are physically and mentally constituted by the grace of God to enjoy life and to enjoy the good things that God himself provides in life, trudge through their teenage years, and they have burdens upon them, and they have oppressions upon them, and they're mad at themselves, and they're mad at their parents, and they're mad at their school, and they're mad at the world. Many a time they're mad at God. And the truth of the matter is they're just plain mad. The good times of youth, they are given you not to squander, but to enjoy in the goodness and the experience of the grace of God. This is what Solomon, I will say Solomon because I believe he wrote the book of Ecclesiastes, but Solomon said, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil years come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." And he then goes down with the following verses to give us a description in very poetic terms of an old man with his youth gone and his body falling apart and his faculties forsaking him. Nothing to look forward to but the grave as far as this world is concerned. Now I know that the grace of God is much deeper than that. And I know that Christian experience is much greater than Ecclesiastes 12 is intimating. But nonetheless, this is a sharp reminder. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. You're in the best years of your life. Don't waste them running after the world. Don't waste them trying to get as like the devil's crowd as you can. Look out there and see what the devil's doing to those who serve him most faithfully. Look out and see what the devil is doing to people who give their everything to him. And tell me then one reason why any young person would want to have any truck with the powers of hell. You know, you look at the drug addict, the drunk, the sodomite, the harlot. You say, well, I don't go that far. Man, if you're serving the same master, remember you're wasting the best days of your life. God has given you the good times of opportunity in order that you should remember your Creator, get to know your God. And I can tell you that the people that know God are a strong people, they're a happy people, they're a people who have purpose to live and the ability to do what the Lord would have them do. Life is life indeed when you remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Of course, this basic lesson is there if you're beyond the days of youth. Life is but a preparation for eternity. When you come to the end of your day, doesn't matter what you've attained, doesn't matter how high you've climbed as far as the world's concerned, it doesn't matter how glowing your obituary in the local press or even in the national press, if this life has not been employed to make you prepared for the next, then you have wasted the opportunity. Prepare to meet thy God. That's one thing that's surer for you than the rising of tomorrow's sun, that you are going to meet your God. It's surer than that you'll make it home tonight. You are going to meet your God. Prepare to meet him. Man, don't just drift through life. Don't just pay little attention to the things of God and more or less let what happens and suddenly find yourself face to face with death and eternity and you're not prepared to meet God. Prepare, and the place of preparation is the cross. That which prepares is the justifying, purifying, soul-saving blood of the Lamb. Oh, get right with God. Receive Christ and be prepared to meet him. We learn the proper use of opportunity. Second lesson we learn here is one for the nation, but one also for the church. And that is that ministers of the word are God's greatest gift to a nation. God showed his favor to Israel in this critical time in their existence as a nation. He didn't shut up heaven. He didn't leave them without a witness. But he constantly raised up through these 400 years of the period of the judges, he raised up men who would stand in his name, with his word, with his law, and with his message. They were ministers of the word of God. I tell you, my friend, that is the single greatest example or proof that God can give in any day of his purpose of favor to a nation, when he raises up men who are faithful to this book, men who will preach the law and the gospel, mind you, there needs to be a preaching of both. You'll never understand the one without the other. Men who will exalt Christ, men who will have the fire of the Holy Ghost in their heart and have the courage of their convictions and blaze a trail for God across the nation. When God raises up men like that, then you have the token of God's favor for a nation. And yet, you know, you can see how well the devil has done his work. Ministers of the gospel now, as far as public opinion go, rank about one above second-hand car salesmen as having the confidence of the people. Mark, you're in real trouble. You're even lower down the line than I am. But you can see how the devil has done his work. And even in the church, the last thing most churches want is a preacher, a puppet, perhaps, a PR man, certainly, a psychologist, he'd be very helpful, but a preacher. Preaching, even in our Bible-believing churches today, is at an all-time low. You listen to most sermons in our fundamental churches. Listen, I tell you, and this is no exaggeration, I can prove this to you any day of the week that you want. What is being given to our adults now in the preaching services would have been an insult 100 years ago in the Sunday school curriculum. Our teachers in our Sunday school for some time used an old Church of England manual produced by Eugene Stock. And some of them spoke to me about it and said they were amazed that this was Sunday school material this man was turning out. This is just Sunday school material. You could travel America and find it hard to get a church where that level of material was dealt with from the pulpit. We need to be praying that God will raise up preachers who will bring church and nation to the Word of God. When there's a famine of the Word, when the heavens are closed, when God is not calling men to the ministry, when you have got men in the ministry who are there for a job, men who are there because of some carnal reasoning, but they're not there by the imperative of a divine call, then you know that these are sad days when the nation is more and more coming under the judgment of God.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.